Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Yud Zayin in Avodah Zarah, one of the more popular dafim in Avodah Zarah. You will see as we go through the daf, you'll say to yourself a couple times today, "Oh, I know that story. I know that story." So that's today. That's today's daf. We're a little bit behind. We're in the back in the. We just started the new Mishnah and the new sugya on Tezayin Amud Aleph. Turn to the bottom of Tezayin Amud Aleph. We're just going to catch up today. Okay. He says with a lot of confidence. We are in the bottom of the Yamut Tanan Ein Mochin Lahem. Yeah. Okay, good. Ein Mochin Lahem Dubin Vareiz V'Lochol Davar Sheish Bo Nezek LaRabim. Okay, you can't sell them, meaning non-Jews. They can't sell them bears and lions and anything that has Nezek LaRabim, anything that will be detrimental to the community at large. A menace to society. Time and Dizbe Nezek L'Rabim, Halezbe Nezek L'Rabim Shari. Which you get the indication that, other than that, in other words, you could sell them wild animals, that would be fine. So, Amar Rava Babarula Bari Shavur, Valiba de Rav Yehuda. The Gemara says, not the best diuk. We could be talking about a lion that has a broken leg. We could be going like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, fine. And that would therefore mean then that our Mishnah is not necessarily a proof to this position that a chaya is just like a behemoth daka, right? It's okay, fine. So Rav Ashi Amar Stam Ari Shavur who ate some malacha. Rav Ashi says, look, a lion. What does a lion do? A lion doesn't do any work. Shavur who ate some malacha. You always basically qualify a lion as somebody who is just incapable of doing any work. So you don't have to give the case where the lion had a broken leg. Lion just simply doesn't do any work. You go to any local zoo, down here in South Florida, we have Lion Country Safari, okay, and they do nothing. The lions do absolutely nothing. They just sit there, they sleep, and that's their life. Meisve, kishem, shein mochen lehem behem agasa, kachem mochen lehem chaya gasa, v'yafil b'makum shemochen lehem behem adaka, chaya gasa ein mochen lehem. Bryce says it straight out. Bryce says that a chaya is just like a behema. So, unlike what Rav Hanan Bar Rava said yesterday, that a chaya is not like a behema gasa, the Gemara over here says it clearly is. Tiyufta de Rav Hanan Bar Rava. Tiyufta, the Gemara says, look, we've refuted the position of Rav Hanan Bar Rava. Ravina Rami Masis and the Braisa Mishan. Ravina says, look, I can point out that there's a steer between a Mishan and the Braisa. And he gives the following answer. Tanan, Ein Mochlem Dubin Varayas, V'lo Kol Davar Sheish Bo Nezek L'Rabim. Again, we're going to go through the same discussion again. The Mishnah says that you cannot sell a lion and a bear menaces to the society. Other than that, though, you want to sell them other wild animals, that's fine. Or Remenu, and the Gemara says, and on that I have a stira. Kishem shein mochrin behem agasa kachin mochrin. Chaya gasa ve'afil b'makum shein mochrin behem adaka chaya gasa ein mochrin. And meanwhile, the Brisa says you can't sell any wild animal, menace or not a menace to society. There seems to be a contradiction between the Mishnah and the Brisa. The Gemara is umishani varishavor valibad Rav Yehuda. So we could say that we're talking about a lion that has a broken leg, and the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda. That's one possible explanation. Or Rav Ashi Amar Stam Ari Shavur, who ate a malacha, or we could give the more fundamental answer of Rav Ashi, that lions don't do anything, they're not good for work, and so therefore lions categorically are not like other large animals. Good. Maskefla Rav Nachman, man leimala dari chayigasihi, dema chayidakihi. Now the Gemara says, let's question which category we're going to put the lion in. Chaya gasa or chaya daka. Rav Ashi daik masisna mosif tiyufta. Rav Ashi says, look, let's make a deek in the Mishnah. Tananin mochan lehem dubin v'arayz v'lo kol davar sheish bo nezek l'rabim. Taima dis be nezek halez be nezek mochrin. The taima ari destam ari shavu huetz amalacha. Again, Rav Ashi, consistent to what he's been saying now, this is the third time he said that. Lions don't do any work. So lions are basically non-working animals. But any other animals that are capable of doing work, even the non-domesticated animals, you can't sell them to a non-Jew based on the gzera that you're not allowed to sell working animals to non-Jew. Tiyufta derav chanan barava. Tiyufta, once again, refuting the position of Rav Chanan bar Rava. Okay, almost done with this. The chayigasa mi amay malacha avde. So the Gemara says, undomesticated animals, what kind of work do they do? Meaning the assumption now that Rav Ashi has concluded is that you're not allowed to sell wild animals to a non-Jew, based on the gzera we learned yesterday, that you can't sell working animals to a non-Jew. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Amar Li Mar Yehuda, Debe Mar Yuchni, Tachne Rechayim Be'arude. Rude, some species of wild donkeys. They work the millstone, they ground the millstone. And so therefore, they are in fact... Are in fact capable of doing some work. Okay. Okay. Amar Rabbi Zera ki avina be Rabbi Yehuda amarlan gemiri minai hamilso de migaver Rabbi Shmieli volo yadana ime Rab ime Shmuel. I have this teaching, and I do not know if this teaching comes from Rav or comes from Shmuel. What's the teaching? Chayegas arika behem adakal apirchas. Like we learned yesterday, right? You have an animal that's dying. It's not a treifa; it's just dying, and you have to, you want to shech the animal. But you need to know, what killed the animal? Was it the fact that it was dying? Or was it the shechita that killed the animal? The only thing which is a matir is shechita. The animal dying on its own is not going to permit it. So what telltale sign do you have? It's something called pirchus, like we discussed at the end of yesterday's daf. Pirchus is the idea that after you shech the animal is going to go through a couple of nervous involuntary motions with its arm. For a smaller animal, it has to do two involuntary motions with its arm after shechting. With a large animal, it only has to do one. And we learned yesterday, and the Gemara now is just, all the Gemara now is going to do is seek, is try to assign who said it. But what we learned yesterday is that when it comes to a chaya, does he need the two involuntary movements, or does he only need one? So again, it's a question of how do we categorize the large undomesticated animals. So the Gemara said yesterday, and the Gemara is just reviewing it right now, that a chaya gasa is like a behemah daka. Just like a behemah daka requires two involuntary motions, so does a chaya gasa, even though it's a large animal. Ki asa le karkunaya ashkechase le ravchia barashi v'yasa v'kame mishmei de Shmuel. So now he quotes it in the name of Shmuel. Now we know who said it, who we can attribute it to. Chayigas arika behem adak lepirchus, amina shma amina mishmein to Shmuel. Good. That's what I was looking for. I knew the halacha, I just didn't know who to give credit to. Now I know, give credit to Shmuel. Itmar ki asa lesur ashkechas l'rav abar yimid yasa v'kama le mishmein to Rav. And meanwhile, and from another source, he gets it in the name of Rav. Chayigas arika behem adak lepirchus. Same halacha, just attributed to Rav. Now I know the statement is attributable to both Rav and Shmuel. Here now, assigned to Rav, but Rav Chama Bar Guria quoting it. It's unbelievable how much time the Gemara spends on this halacha. It's really amazing. Rabba Bar Yirmiyah. So he says, I've attributed it to Rabba Bar Yirmiyah, not Shmuel, and not Rab. Amar Lay, so he says to him, right, when hearing, right, when being corrected, Pasya Uchma, you're a black piece of clothing. Rashi over here, great Rashi. Rashi over here, Pasya Uchma, the end of the Rashi, he writes, in other words, they insulted one another, right? The Amoraim insult one another, and the Rishonim insult one another. We're much more sensitive nowadays, right? We try not to offend, but in the pursuit of truth, so sometimes they're sharp to one another, and this is just sometimes the way they spoke to one another. Rashi writes at the end, Pasi Uchma Darken Shel Tamid Chachamim Shemitzdaren Alima Torah. Rashi says it's even a compliment. Tamid Chachamim, who are so engrossed in the study of Torah, Eina Mechapsim Bigdehim, they don't wash their clothing. So Pasi Uchma, to say that your clothing is black, that's a compliment. It means you learn a lot of Torah. Laundry is not exactly the first, second, or third thing that you worry about over the course of the day. Okay, in other words, put me together, put you together, and we know now, in other words, we'll attribute it to Rava Bar Yirmiya together with Rav. Okay. Itmar Nami Amar Reb Zera Amar Rav Asi Amar Rava Bar Yirmiya Amar Rav Chama Bar Guria Amar Rav. Okay, now we have piece together the final attribution in terms of who we are giving credit this halacha to, just like a small animal needs two involuntary motions in order to know that you shechting killed the animal, same thing is true with a chaya gasa, with a larger undomesticated animal. Okay. Ein bonin. Amar Rabba b'Bachana Rav Yochanan Gimel basilikos hein. There are three different types of basilikas. Okay? And they are shal malchei ovdei kochavim, palaces, two, merchatzaos, bathhouses, and three, shal otsaro, some sort of warehouse, storehouse. Amar Rabba beis lehetzer v'echa le'iser. Rabba says, two of them are fine, meaning if you were a general contractor and they asked you, they commissioned you to build a basilica, of these three that we just mentioned, two are fine, one is not fine. V'siman, and again, just a mnemonic, a way to help you remember, lesser malchein b'zikin. It's a play on words, lesser malchein b'zikin. Right, this is in the Tehillim, we say it every morning in Pesukei Zimra. Right, the pasuk simply means that you tie up their kings using chains. The Gemara is playing on the word lesser over here also means isser, something which is forbidden. Right, and which one is forbidden? Malcheihem. You can't build the palace of the king. Why not? So Rashi over here writes, the Gemara doesn't say. Rashi over here writes, Shedanim Sham Nefashos. Because that's where they kill. They're Dandi Nefashos, they kill over there, and by you building such a building, you will be aiding the death of other people. Ika de Amri. Gemara now presents a second version of this halacha. Amrava kulam laheter. So Rava says all the basilicas that we just mentioned, it's fine. You're contracted to build any of these, it's fine. Vahatanan in bonim and basilica gardum et stadio vima. What about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah clearly prohibits the building of a basilica. So Ema, the Gemara says, okay, let's reread the Mishnah. Shel gardom, vishel itzadya, vishel bima. No. Our Mishnah, which says that there are certain buildings that you're not allowed to build, it says basilica, but basilica is specific types of basilicas. Basilica, shel gardom, shel itzadya, vishel bima. Right, stadiums and altars, and those are the types of basilicas that you're not allowed to build. But if it's just for the king, or if it's a bathhouse, or if it's a storehouse, that's fine, you can build them. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, from this point forward, the Gemara now, we're going to spend the rest of today and tomorrow in some of the most unbelievable pieces of Agadata, some famous pieces of Agadata, we're all familiar. There's going to be a lot of halacha interwoven through the Agadata. So it's just a great pieces of Gemara coming up. Tana Rabbanan, we're five lines from the bottom of the Amud. Kishe Nidfas Rav Elazar Laminas. Rav Elazar was taken, and he was taken for heresy. Now, he was taken for heresy, I should say. Right? Rashi writes, Minim Tafsu Lachufu La'avodas Kochavim. And they want to try to force him to do Avodah Zarah, Halula Gardom, Lidon. So they take him to the Gardom. Now, obviously, the reason why this story comes up over here is because we just finished the Mishnah, and Mishnah talked about certain types of buildings that you're not allowed to build because they're there only to basically put Jews to death. And one of the buildings mentioned in the Mishnah is the Gardom. And so, this is now where Rav Elazar is taken. So Lidon, Amalo Oso Hegmon. So the Hegmon, which... second in command, right under the king. So the Hegmon says to him, "Zaken shekamoscha yasuk b'dvarim b'telem halalu." So I understand you're an elder, you're wise, and you're dealing with such nonsense, such foolishness. I'm alone. Neman alai hadayan. So he says, Rav Elazar says, "Neman alai hadayan." Now here we're going to come across right into a direct miscommunication. Neman alai hadayan. He was saying is, "That's okay. I got my judge." But the Hegmon didn't understand that. The Hegmon, being as egotistical as he was, thought that Rebbe Elazar was talking about him. Because Savor, oh, so Hegmon, I love you, Omer. The Hegmon thought, oh, he's talking about me, good. He was talking about his God up in heaven, Father up in heaven. And the Hegmon says to him, well, now that you've given me some respect, you're good. You're acquitted. So, Kishabala Veso Nichnasu Tamidav Etzlo Lenachamo. So now the students try to give him nechama, velo kibel alav, and he didn't accept it. He wouldn't accept tachnunim. In other words, he was trying to be comforted. He did not understand the whole why he went through all that. Obviously, there was a reason why he went through all that, but he didn't understand, and he was so distraught.
What,
so
was he upset about what he said?
It's not clear from the Gemara. It's not clear from the Gemara what he was upset about. Either that he was taken, or the fact that he was, you know, in other words, he was let off the hook because it looked like he implied that he was into the Savodah Zara.
I swear to this.
Amalo Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tarishini Lomar Davar, Echa Mimashil Maratani. So Rabbi Kiva goes over to Rabbi Lazar and says to him, let me try this. Can I permission to speak, basically. Amarlo Emor. So Rabbi Lazar says, you have permission. Amarlo, Rabbi, Shema Minus Baliyadcha, Vihin Acha. Maybe you heard something heretical, and maybe you gave an approval. You liked it. And maybe that's why you were taken to be forced into heresy. I'm sorry, but I love nitpasta, and that's why you were taken. Amar lo Akiva hiskartani. So Rabbi Elazar says to Rabbi Akiva, you hit it right on the head. Oh my gosh, I just remembered. I was going through the marketplace of Tzipori, and I found a man by the name of Yaakov Ish Kfar Sachanya, Malik Kosov Bisaraskem, Lo Savi Asnan Zona. You know there's a prohibition in the Torah. We just read about it 2 Shabbosim ago. Prohibition in the Torah that if you have a zona, a prostitute, and she makes her money, how she makes her money, and she wants to take, let's say she was given, instead of money, let's say she was given an animal. And she says, you know what? Let me bring this as a karban. Right? Lo savi esnan zonan u'mechir kelev. The other way around?
Yeah, no. Esnan
zonan u'mechir. Oh, first esnan zonan. Lo savi esnan zonan u'mechir kelev. I was going to make up the rest of the pasuk. I'm not going to do that. Okay. So anyway, so you're not allowed to say she can't do that. It's an issur in the Torah. She cannot bring her wages to the Beit HaMikdash. So fine, that's an issur in the Torah. So this heretic says to Rabbi Lazar, "How about this? I got an idea. How about right? Don't you okay? So don't bring it as a karban." But let's say she got paid a toilet seat, or okay, yeah. And why don't we take her wages and use it as a toilet for the Kohen Gadol? And then the min says, and you know, I'm sorry, v'lo amarti lo klom, and I didn't say anything to him. Amar li kach li mani. In fact, the min goes on to say, you know, I think it's a brilliant idea. Because the pasuk in Micha says, Ki mi esnan zonan kivtza, v'ad esnan zonan yeshuva mi makam atinofes. I'm sorry, v'ad esnan zonan yeshuva. It collects from a prostitute, and it'll go back to the prostitute. Now, what the pasuk in Micha is talking about, we will say a pshat in it, the correct pshat in it, in just a moment. But this heretic goes to Rabbi Lazar and says, oh, perfect. I want to say my pshat in the pasuk. My pshat in the pasuk is mimakam atinofes ba'u. Look, she's coming from a dirty place. She's involved in a disgusting type of occupation. Lamakam atinofes yochu. So, what better way to take her salary and use it as a toilet bowl because it's dirty and disgusting anyway? Now, that's brilliant, brilliant pshat. That's his pshat in the pasuk, and it's silly, and it's, you know, it's. It's not the pshat. And Rabbi Lazar hears it, v'hin ani hadavar al yidei zeh. And you know what? I heard the pshat, and it's, you know, somewhat silly and somewhat ridiculous, but Rabbi Lazar says, I loved it. It was great. I thought it was a great pshat. Nitfasti leminus v'avalti amashikasa betara harchek me'aleha darkecha. That's why I was taken. That's why they try to force me into heresy. The pasuk says in Mishle, you have to distance yourself from your way, zuminus, meaning that anything that is close to heresy, you should distance yourself from. Al takreva pesach beis zeh harishus. and don't come close to the entrance to the house. That's the authorities. Stay away from heresy. Stay away from the authorities. Iga da'amre. Now, just a slightly different version of how to darshan the pasuk in Mishlei. Harchek me'alecha darchazu minas ve'harishos. The first part of the pasuk is talking about both heresy and the authorities. Val tikrav al pesach beisa zezona, and you should distance yourself from the entrance of your house. That's referring to a zona. V'kama am Rav Chista arba amos. Rav Chista says 4 amos, meaning that the house of prostitution, a brothel, you should keep your distance. In other words, you would think there's no iser to actually walk alongside a beis hazonos. And Rav Chista says, no, Dal Amos, you should stay away for Amos. Okay, next bit of Gemara is super interesting. V'rabbanan haime, I'm sorry. No, not yet. V'rabbanan haime esnan zona my darshibe. Okay, fine. So we have now a silly pshat in the pasuk from Micha, right? Use the prostitute's wages, turn it into a bathroom, a toilet for the Kohen Gadol. That's what the Minchas Rebbe Elazar at first said. Oh, great pshat. And the Gemara says he shouldn't have entertained such a pshat. It was a silly pshat. It was nonsense. He shouldn't have even entertained it. Now, says the Gemara, let's say a better or a more correct pshat in the pasuk for Rabbanan. Haime eslan zona my darshibe. So what are we going to say in this pasuk in Micha? Kidrav chista dam rav chista kol zona shenischeret levesof. He so cheres. A prostitute who hires others, she will become so repulsive and so disgusting that she's going to have to end up hiring other people to have relations with her. She'll be just the opposite. Okay, and that's pshat in the pasuk in Micha. Okay. Now, one of the things that we just talked about through this discussion is a halacha that you cannot be within 4 amos, 4 amos, approximately 8 feet, of a house of prostitution. A bezona is something that you should distance yourself from. Now, watch the Gemara carefully over here. Upliga de Rebbe Pedas. This position, that you need to be 4 amos away from a bezona, this is contrary to the opinion of Rabbi Pedas. I'm a Rabbi Pedas, also Torah. Ela kreva shogilu arayos belvad. The Torah only forbids kreva shogilu arayos. Shenamar ish ish el kol she'er bisaro lo sikrevu legalos erva. You can't come close to erva. Okay. Now, it's kind of difficult to understand. The Gemara's assumption is that Rav Chista's position and Rabbi Pedas's position cannot coexist. Tosfos says, I don't understand. Really? The two positions can't coexist? The Im Tomer, look at the 4th Tosfos on the page. Well, my pligi, what's the problem, says Tosfos. Dilma la'olam amr Rav Chista v'Rav Pedas, shemena tarein o'asa la'kreva, shogila arayas avam igzeres chachamim, tzarech la'harchik dal amos. What's the problem? Maybe there's an Issa Torah of Kravishal Gila Arayus. You're not allowed to come close to Gila Arayus, make actual contact with Gila Arayus. And then on top of that, we can throw Rav Chista as a Gzero, as a Geder. Just simply distance yourself 4 amos from a house of prostitution. What's so difficult to understand? And why does the Gemara so confident that the two positions cannot coexist? And then let's skip this next part because there's a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yud Gimel where essentially he's asking the same question. Skip down about 6-7 lines from the end of the Tosfos. Lekach nir l'ri dehachi kamar hacha v'hasam demasha anu darshim milashon kreva hacha arba amos v'hasam hu bevigdo pligi de Rabbi Pedas. Right, the Ri says they cannot coexist. The Rebbe Pedas ain lashon kreva bein bedivrei Torah bein bedivrei Kabbalah elagilui arayos mamish. Rebbe Pedas is of the opinion that when it comes to the prohibition, kreva means actual arayos. Right, it's talking about the actual erva. It means nothing more than that. And then to use a pasuk as an asmachta, you can't do that. Meaning, and this is just unbelievable. Meaning that Rav Chista is using the pasuk of Al tikrav al pesach beisa, right? Don't come close to the entrance of our house. He's using that as an asmachta. And the Ri says that's what's offensive. That's why that position can't coexist with Rabbi Pedas, because Rabbi Pedas believes that when the Torah uses the word krav, it doesn't mean come close. It means actual contact. Contact. And Rabbi Pedas is now trying to use the pasuk from Mishle of Al Tikrav Pesach Beisecha as an asmachta. It can't even take as an asmachta, right? Now, it fascinates me because usually, what do we say about asmachta? Asmachta, it's really a rabbinic prohibition, and the Chachamim like attaching it to a pasuk. But in essence, it's really a rabbinic pasuk.
Mishle, though, because usually it's like a pasuk maybe in the Torah. It's a pasuk in Chumash.
No, but that's the Rabbi Pedas pasuk. The Rav Chista pasuk is based on the pasuk in Mishle. Right, the pasuk in Mishle, Harchek me'alacha darkecha, al tikrav pesach beisa. So on that, Rav Chista says, oh, can't be within four amos. And it's just fascinating that from Tosus's perspective, the asmachta has to fit. Even though it's not a daraisa, it's just a derabbanan, we're attaching it to a pasuk, but it's got to fit. There's got to be a nicer attachment between the derabbanan and the pasuk that you're attaching it to. And since Rabbi Pedas believes that kreva is actual contact, so even as an asmachta, it's simply you can't do what Rav Chista did, attach a rabbinic prohibition on a pasuk that it just doesn't work out. It doesn't.
It could be from a different perspective. Rambam and Rabban.
Right.
Rabban holds that this is a zebra and a Torah that Lasikum Galasierva.
Right.
Right. Is physical contact. Is any physical contact with Nerva. So it might be that, because they're talking about the word Lasikum.
Right.
So maybe the Torah in this case already made it zebra to Bia.
Right.
Then take it one step further.
Uh huh. Right. The okay. Ula. Okay. Ula ki hava ase bi beirav hava menashek lulachtei abe yadayhu. Ula, when he would come home from yeshiva, so he had his sisters, he had his sisters. I was just looking for the Rashi. Yeah, there were his older sisters. The Gemara doesn't say that, but Rashi assumes that to be the case. There were his older sisters, and he would kiss them on the hands. Now Rashi says, actually, we're talking about the arms. He kissed them on the arms. And then the Gemara has another version, and kiss him on the arm, kiss him on the chest. It's obviously a little bit strange sounding, but it clearly was a sign of affection and respect. Nevertheless, let's just put this in context, meaning that we're discussing right now this idea of distancing yourself from Erva, right? That's the basic idea we're talking about. A sister is an Erva. Now, when it comes to mother-child, mother-son, so there's no inyan whatsoever to distance yourself from Erva, because there's no Yetzahara, right? Generally speaking, that's the assumption between a son and a mother. But between a brother and a sister, so there's... Right? How do we say this? All right. The Shulchan Aruch language is, it's. I should have brought the Shulchan Aruch in. It's not becoming. It's inappropriate. It's not usur for a sister and a brother to make contact with one another. Clearly, it's not usur. Rav Chista did it, but it's something that should be avoided. Upligi didea didea. Now the Gemara points out there's an inconsistency within Ula himself. Damar Ula kreva ba'ama asr mishum lech lechamer nazira schor schor lekamelo sikrav. We have a general rule that when you're a nazir, don't walk through a vineyard, meaning you have to get from point A to point B, right? And the shortest distance to get there is through a vineyard. Don't walk through it. Is there a prohibition for a nazir to walk through a vineyard? No. The prohibition is to eat the fruit, eat the grape. But lech lech amor lenazira. We say to the nazir, you know what? Best advice to you, walk around. Don't walk through the vineyard. And Ula says same thing when it comes to Arayas. You have an erva, right? Is it asr for a man to touch his sister? No, it's not asr. Lech lech amor lenazira. But I'm going to give you some extraordinarily good advice. Right, sounds like we're somewhere close to a derabanan. Just don't do it. Don't even come close. And so The Gemara points out that there's an inconsistency because on one hand, he did kiss his sister. We know that as a fact. On the other hand, he subscribes to this idea of lech lech amr l'nazira. You know what? You should distance yourself. Now, the Gemara does not resolve the inconsistency, meaning the Gemara just simply points it out, but the Gemara makes no attempt to explain how can he be, you'll forgive me for saying this, hypocritical. Right? So Tosfos again, let's go back to Tosfos again. So how come Aula on one hand says really you shouldn't make contact with your relatives, right? Specifically here your sister. And meanwhile he did. Tosfos says it's like the Gemara Ksuvos, right? It's a great Gemara. Gemara Ksuvos over there has a story where one of the Amorayim, Rav Acha, so he took the kala, no relationship with the kala, and put the kala on his shoulders and danced with the kala on his shoulders. Story gets better. The Talmidim see the Rebbe, and the Talmidim say to the Rebbe, "Rebbe, can we do that?" So Rabbi Acha tells the students, "No." So the students say to Rebbe, "Well, that's a little bit strange. We can't do that, and you can." So his answer was, "To me, she's like," and that's what Tosfos is quoting over here, "ki kishura. To me, she's like a beam. In other words, I've totally conquered my yetzer hara. It doesn't do anything to me. Okay, but to you, no, you can't do that." And that's what Ula's saying. Look, he's on a certain madrega, so he feels that for, right, and it's a sister, so he feels not a problem. But in general, the advice to the common person is that this is the kind of behavior that you should not emulate. Okay. La Aluka shtei banos. The pasuk says Aluka had two daughters. Have. Now, Aluka, that's a funny name. Who is that? What is that? So Tosfos, one more time today. Tosfos says Aluka lefi apshat hainu gehenim. Aluka could be a reference to Gehenna, and then one of the Paitanim. Tosfos quotes a how do you translate that into English? A poet? Yeah, a poet. Right, well, one of the Piyutim maker. Bezula shel Chanukah. One of the Piyutim of Chanukah. Yiktu b'hava ve'alak. As we enter into Slichos, it's Motzei Shabbos, and you're reading a lot of Slichos, and you're like, I have no idea what I'm reading. So be happy to know, like you're just quoting one line from a Piyut of Chanukah, and I have no idea what I'm reading. Yiktu b'hava ve'alak. But anyway, right? You should right. Yiktu from the word mokad, and you should burn up in the flames of alak. So I don't know the piyut at all in context, but okay, it means right. Tosa says it probably means Gehenim.
Isn't Aluka also an insect?
I know Tosa does give another shot that it's the name of a Talmud Chacham.
I'm leech.
I'm sorry. It's where Rabbi Inatam. Kachnilo Deshem Chachamhu. No, Tosfos says it's also the name.
I believe Art Scroll might call it.
Okay, fine. I accept it. La Luka Shte Banos Hav. So my Hav Amar Mar Ukva Kol Shte Banos Shetzawakim Megehenim VaOmers BeOlam Azeh Hava. Two daughters of Gehenim who call out to this world and say, "Come here, come here." Oman Hinu Minus Varishas. And again, heresy and the authorities. Those are the people that call out to you, seduce you, try to entice you, and bring you. It's a yetzahara. Igad Amri Amar Chista Amar Mar Ukva Kol Gehenim Tzavakas VaOmers Havili Shte Banos Shetzavakos VaOmers BaOlam Azeh Havei Havei. Okay, I don't know what we get from the Igad Amri. It sounds like the same basic idea. Kol be'eha lo yeshuvim v'lo yisigu archos chayim. Anyone who gets to it does not return v'lo yisigu archos chayim and will not live life. Anyone who is actually attaches himself to minus, that's it. They get terminated. Okay. V'chi me'achir shelo shavu heichan yisigu. So the Gemara says, what just pshat in the pasuk? I don't even understand. Simple pshat in the pasuk. They don't do tshuva? Is that what the pasuk means? Achikamar. The Gemara says, no. Here's the pshat. Im yashuvu, they absolutely can do tshuva. Even someone who's taken to heresy has absolutely every ability to do tshuva, but lo yasigu orchos chayim. But that's it, though. Meaning they'll do tshuva, and then they'll die. And they won't live anymore. Mm. Now, why that is, or an explanation of that, so
kapara,
don't... Right? It's part of the kapara. Okay, I guess. It's tough. It's very rough. The Gemara says, now what you're telling me is that if you're connected to Minas, if you are involved in heresy, and you do tshuva, and you separate from heresy, but as a consequence you must immediately die. So the Gemara says, let's see, the Gemara is going to bring in some anecdotes to test this theory, is that always going to be true? A woman goes over to Rav Chista and says, look, let me show off to you some of my lighter sins in life. You see my younger son over there? Well, my older son is the father of the younger son. Okay? No, good. And that's my lighter sin. The Amar La, Rav Chista, Tarchu La Bizavdasa, Velo Mesa. So Rav Chista says, you know, the best thing to do, prepare the Tachrichen. Right? Tarchu La Bizavdasa, Zavdasa. Is Rashi says Tachrichin. Rashi, it's great Rashi. Rashi says Seid al Aderech. If you look in Brachos, so Mitargamina, the Targum of Seid al Aderech is Zavdin Leorcha, provisions for the way. Well, when you're going to, and Rashi goes on to say Tachrichin ain't Seida Aderech Mason. Right, when you die, so one of the provisions is the Tachrichin. Okay. Anyway. Midika, back to the Gemara. Midika, Amar Kalos Shabakalos Sasa Mechlal Deminos Nami Havya Ba. Hahu. So the Gemara is bothered by the fact. So she's a heretic, and so based on what we've just been saying, if in fact she did tshuva, and Rav Chista says okay, she's going to die, put the tachrichin together, and it turned out that she didn't die. So what about our theory? So the Gemara says, "Hahu delo hajar b'shapir, or mishum hachi lo mesa." So the Gemara says she didn't do tshuva. Right? That's a false assumption. Right? She was just telling Rav Chista what she did, but she wasn't actually doing tshuva. And on account of that, that's why she didn't die instantaneously. Igidami miminos in me'aver alone. Now, some have the version that it's only from Minos, but not from an Avera. Avera, when the Gemara here says Avera, the Gemara is specifically talking about Gilu Arayos. Right? According to the second version, she does die. So the Gemara says, so, and again, let's go back to her statement. Her statement was, this is my easier sin. So it means that she was a min, she was also a heretic, she did tshuva, and she did in fact die. Okay. Umeaver alava hatanya. Okay, so the Gemara says now, again, the basic idea is that when you're involved in minus, and you do tshuva, you die instantly. Okay, it's part of the consequence of being involved in minus. But if it's just avera, and again, avera here means gilu arayos, if you're involved in sexually illicit immoral behavior, so and you do tshuva, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to die right away. Gemara says, is that true? The Hatanya, we have the following brisa. Amar lo al Rebbe Lazar ben Durdaya. Story is told about Rebbe Lazar ben Durdaya shlo iniach zona achas ba'olam shlo ba'ala. He had relations with every prostitute in the world. Pamachas shama sheyesh zona achas b'kar chayayam. He heard about one prostitute, v'aisa notas kistinarim b'sachra. And for her wages, she took kistinarim, she took a tremendous amount of money. Nato kistinarim v'halach v'avar ala sheva naharos, he traveled seven seas. Bishah hergol davar. And while they're involved, hificha. Now, hificha usually means she passed, right, to pass gas. Okay? Amra. And she says now, k'shem sheficha zu eina chozer slim kama, kach alazer ben dordai, ein mekabel sosa b'tshuva. Just like once you let some gas go, you can't get it back, so to you, you're going to do tshuva, but you're never going to get back. Halach v'yashav ben shnei harim u'gvos. So, I think we're all familiar with the story. So, he sits between the two mountains. Amar harim u'gvos bikshu alai rachamim, and he's asking for intermediaries to pray on his behalf. So first he turns to the mountains. Amru lo, Ashanu mevakshem alecha nevakesh al atzmenu. We got our own worries. Shenamar ki arim yamushu v'hagvos tim motena. Mountains will crumble. We have our own things we need to worry about. Amr Shamayim Varetz Bikshu Alay Rachamim, he turns to the heavens and the earth. Amru Achanu Mevakshim Alacha Nevakesh Latmen Shenemer Ki Shamayim Ke'ashan Nimlechu Ve'ha'aretz Ke'beged Tivleh. We're going to get worn out like an old shmata. Amar Chamal Levanu Bikshu Alay Rachamim. He turns to the sun and the moon. Amru Lo Achanu Mevakshim Alacha Nevakesh Latmenu. And again, their response is, we got our own tzaras. Shenemer Ve'chafra Levana Ubusha Hachama. Chirpa and busha to the sun and to the moon. Amar kochavim u'mazalos bikshu alai rachamim. He turns to the stars and to the planets. Amar lo achanu mevakshim alacha nevakesh latmenu shenemar v'nimoku kol tzevah hashamayim. We got our own stars. Amar in adavar tolo yala bi. He figured it out. It's me. I got to do the tshuva. I have to talk directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He niach rosho bein birkav. He goes into the fetal position, v'ga'a bebechia, and he wails ad shiyatza nishmaso until he dies. Yatza baskol ve'amar v'lazer ben dudai muzuman l'chaye ha'olam haba. Out comes the baskol, and the baskol says he's going to get olam haba. And we're going to comment in just a moment. The baskol does not call him Elazar ben Durdai, but the baskol gives him smicha. Okay, right. V'ha hacha be'avera hu hava umeis. And now let's put this in the context of our Gemara. The Gemara is calling the story over here because we said that when you're involved in minus, then you die. Right at the point of tshuva, you die right then. But if it's just Avera, if it's just Gilu Arayus, you don't have to die. And meanwhile, Rav Elazar ben Dudai died. Hasamnami came in Davik Beituva came Minus Damya. So the Gemara says categorically it turned into Minus. He was so entrenched in Gilu Arayus that it was like Minus. Bacha Rebbe Yiva Amr, second time in the Masechta, that we're going to see the comment of Rebbe Yeshkona Alama Bekamashanim Yeshkona Alamo. Someone gets Olam Haba in just one moment. And the baskol giving Rav Elazar ben Dudai smicha, that also seems to have, now I'm going to say it, I don't know if it bothered Rebbe, but that from the context it seems that way. Right? It seems like, I don't know if it bothers, not the right word, but you know, he's reacting to it. Let's do a little bit more this morning. Rabbi Chanin and Rabbi Yochanan have a kazle be'orcha matalana trei shvile. Rabbi Chanin and Rabbi Yonasan are walking on the path and they get to a cross on the path and there are two ways to go. Chad pasi apischa davos kochem v'chad pasi apischa debei zonos. So you have your choice. You can either go by a house of idolatry, you can go by a house of prostitution. Now, their plan, of course, is to stop in neither. The only issue was, which one should they choose in terms of just walking by? So, the first argument is, let's go down the path of Avodah Zarah, Denachis Yetzirah, because we shechted the Yetzer Hara. Gemara in Sanhedrin Rashi quotes that we shechted the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. We are not succumbed to Avodah Zarah. We don't understand the Yetzer Hara to Avodah Zarah. Okay. So good. So, it's the easier path to go down. The other Amora says, no, I got a better idea. Let's go past the house of prostitution because we do have a Yetzirah for that and we will resist our Yetzirah and we'll get schar and we'll get reward. Okay. I don't know if I may say this. I don't know if that's always the best advice. unless you're right, you have to be confident. Now when the prostitutes see them, I guess their natural inclination is to go out, greet them, try to solicit a little business, and they withdrew, they went back, they recoiled upon seeing them. So one Amora said to the other Amora, how did you know that was going to happen? Like, why were you so confident that was going to be the result? Amarle mizima tishmor alecha tivuna tinatzreka. What do you mean? I'm so confident because that's a pasuk in Mishlei. It protects you. And if not only does it protect you, it meaning Torah, but it protects you from zima. Amarle rabban la rava my mizima ilay matara dichsi ba zima Umitagaminan atas chataim. Sometimes zima actually means Torah. I know that sounds strange, but it really isn't that strange. Think about it this way. Vasisam lo kasher zamam lasos la'achiv. The word zima sometimes can mean just, you know, advice, consideration, right? But over here, that's not what it means, says the Gemara. Because over here, it would have said zima, but that's not what the Pasuk Mishlei says. It says, mi zima, hachi kamar, midvar zima tishmo alecha Torah tenatzraka. It protects you from zima. Zima over here means lewdness. Okay. One more story for today. Tana Rabbanan kishenitfasu Rabbi Elazar ben Prata, Rabbi Chananya ben Tradion. Yom Kippur is coming up. We're going to be reading about the Asara Haruge Malchus. The Gemara here in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yezayin Amud Beis, talks about two of the Asara Haruge Malchus. So we have over here Rav Elazar ben Prata and Chananya ben Tradion. Amar le Rav Elazar ben Prata, Rabbi Chananya ben Tradion, Ashrecha, Shinitfasta al Davar Echad, Oy Li, Shinitfasta al Chamisha Dvarim. So Rav Elazar ben Prata says to Rabbi Chananya ben Tradion, you know, you're in better shape than I am. You're looking at one count. I'm looking at five counts. Okay? Amar le Rabbi Chananya, Ashrecha shenitfasta chamisha dvarim v'ata nitzol, oyli shenitfasta al davar echa v'eini nitzol. It doesn't matter how many counts you're looking at. You, I suspect, will get out of all five, and I will not get out of my one. She'at asakta b'torah v'gimilas chasadim. And this is amazing. And Rabbi Chananya ben Tradion says, because look, you learned Torah and you were involved in Gemilas Chesed. And me, you basically found me in the base medrash and that's it. If that's all you did, is all you did is just learn Torah, that's very strong. Right? It's as if you don't have a God. Okay, and it's as if you don't have a God. And in order for you to be Gabbai Tzedaka, you have to be as faithful and as honest as Rav Chananya ben Tradion. So you see, yeah, he was a Gabbai Tzedaka. Gabbai Tzedaka, that's chesed. So the Gemara says, no, the Gemara says, he was trustworthy, but he didn't actually do it. One more, v'hatanya amalo mao shal perm nischafali b'mao shal tzedakah v'chilaktem la'aniyim. Gemara says that one time he switched around two of his pushkas. Right, the money he collected on Purim got mixed up with the money that he collected year round, and for reasons we'll discuss in just a day from now, those money should be segregated. So me'avid avid k'dabai lo avid. So the Gemara says he dabbled in chesed, but he should have been more involved in chesed, and that's why going into the Romans, he knew he wasn't going to come out. Okay, we'll continue with this tomorrow.